It's good to pass this away somewhere safe. Well, it's good to be with you today and to have an opportunity to open God's Word with you. And my name is Vern Frud, just a short capsule. I'm married to my wonderful wife, Jackie, here who's with us today. We're coming to our 49th anniversary this July the 14th. That's one date that's kind of engraved in my mind. I try not to forget that. We have been in ministry for 45 years, recently retired, although still carrying on some levels of responsibility. I do some mentoring coaching with 17 or 18 other pastoral teams in ministry, and so that kind of keeps me engaged for a few hours every week, and it's quite a thing to encourage those who are have the responsibilities that need to be carried through in these days that are quite unusual and changing. There's part of me that says, I'm so glad I'm old enough to retire. And another part of me says, I don't feel this old, but I guess I'm there anyway. So we come to share God's word with you. Oh, just another couple of thoughts. We have recently retired to Vernon and live just up here on the hill on 20th Street. And my next door neighbor is Martha Murky. And we have conversation, and I ask her, what kind of people are we coming to on Sunday? Oh, they're wonderful people, she said. So she gives her greeting, wishes she could be here, but unable to be here. But also, just a little footnote in history, I never realized that this would kind of come full circle. One of the people that had been part of our ministry, we were 30 years in pastorate in Kamloops in one church, and it was a wonderful experience. But one of the lead people in our congregation was Rita Gellert Carlson. And for 35 years, she and her husband Gerald have been friends of ours, and they're good people. But throughout my time, or our time in Kamloops, she would often say, well, that's how the Baptists do it. Raised in Vernon, and that's how they did it. And it kind of left the impression that what had happened here was pretty near to perfection. And so it's good to come and be part of a little bit of her history for a little bit of time, but good to tie in to the Word of God together. And so as we come today, there's some good things we want to talk about. I just need to leave you with a couple things. Every once in a while on my computer, something will pop up that deals with the older I get, the more I feel like. And so I've been reminded a couple of things. If you see me talking to myself, just move along. I'm self-employed, and we're having a staff meeting. Then the other day, one popped up with Snoopy, the Charles Schulz character. Snoopy says, not to brag or anything, but I can forget what I'm doing while I'm doing it. It's okay to talk to yourself and okay to answer yourself, but sad when you have to repeat what you're saying because you weren't listening. And then as it relates to 2021, and we kind of look back and we think, what a year, this little statement of wisdom. Once you understand why pizza is round, sold in a square box, and served as a triangle, then you'll begin to understand what 2021 was about. So as we collect our thinking and just kind of come to God's word, I'm reminded of a couple of things. First of all, let's just have a word of prayer, okay? Lord, thank you for the privilege of opening your word and having a moment to just begin to consider how it impacts our lives today. So we commit our way to you now and ask your blessing and your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. It If you have your Bibles, you can open to Exodus chapter 14. If not, I have the privilege of reading God's word. Kind of challenged with the impact of Exodus chapter 14, because it talks about how in the world do you function as an individual when life isn't turning out the way you expected it to? And these days of COVID and the challenge of what we consider, well, we don't even know what normal is anymore. Normal is just topsy-turvy. And then as individuals, we're dealing with the COVID thing. Some of us are dealing with health issues. Some of us may be dealing with a change of location and or retirement. And others are trying to figure out how to live without people we counted on and loved ones or those who transitioned away. And so as we come to Exodus chapter 14, the challenge for every believer is to live by faith as we face our current circumstances. And some days that's pretty tough. So let's come to the Word of God. We're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Exodus and then drop down to verse 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp at Phi Haroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon." And so we'll just there. And then verse 9. The Egyptians, so we just take a moment. The Israelites are in movement. The Exodus is in place. Moses and Aaron have had their challenges with Pharaoh and the other leaders of Egypt. And God's word says there are moments when Pharaoh's heart is so hardened, he just refused to listen. And then a plague, another type of plague that was so unusual, so different, would land upon them. Pharaoh would begin to loosen, and the people in authority in Egypt would begin to talk to him and feedback, kind of like the government, you know, something, decisions made. And then there's a lot of turmoil. So Pharaoh gives permission after the last plague, which was the Passover issue. Remember the Israelites, their door frames were covered with the sacrifice, the blood of the sacrifice. The death angel passes over, and Egypt is filled with mourning because of what's going on. Pharaoh says, "I give up, go." So we get into verse 1 of chapter 14. The Exodus is happening. People are in transition and moving. Life as they know it is forever changed, and they're moving along, and they come along the Red Sea, and the Lord says to Moses, "Wait a minute. Turn here at this point, go down to the shore of the sea and camp there." Now, as that happens, Pharaoh back over here in the position of authority says, "Wait a minute, what have we done?" So verse 1 takes place in chapter 14. Then we come to verse 9. Pharaoh's been dealing with some things along the way here. But when we come to verse 9, the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Phi Hiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. Okay, so they're there. Pharaoh and the army catches up. As Pharaoh approaches, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to God. They said to Moses, "Why was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you need only to be still." So the issue is, how do we live by faith? That's the word of God. May it kind of invade our thinking or permeate our minds and imaginations. We're just praying for sanctified imaginations to see what the Word of God is saying that kind of impacts life today. So the idea of living by faith in current circumstances is often a challenge. We want to be people who trust God and follow Him. But often it seems like the army is on the horizon and we're about to be overcome. And what in the world do we do? And so as the Word of God is unfolding and the people are in the middle of this, our challenge is to pay attention to God. In fact, our challenge is to pay more attention to the things of God than to the circumstances around us. Boy, that's a big one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of our faith, or finisher of our faith, another translation says. So the challenge of living by faith in a day when things are changing and not normal is to pay more attention to scriptural, biblical, God's sovereign truth than to kind of the storms of the day. So it's interesting as you consider what God's word is saying. Oh, by the way, remember the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the two verses. Paul writes, we are pressed on every side by trouble, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. So the word reminds us of the challenge of living by faith and being human. There are moments that life just kind of gives us a hard time. And yet we can lean on and rely on God. So kind of going back to where the Israelites were, remember that they're on the move. And in the middle of their movement, there's this amazing phenomena, the pillar. It's a cloud by day and it's light by night. And it's with them, guiding with them and kind of leading them along the way. They'd never experienced that before. Here was a visible, practical example of the presence of God leading them into their journey. And then God says, well, let's take a moment and let's come down here and let's put up camp. Now, the interesting thing about the camp is that they've been going along the plateau land above the Red Sea. And they get to a place where there's a bit of a drop-off, and the land levels out down along the coast or the seabed, the shoreline. It's about a mile deep and about 2 miles wide, historically. And the Israelites come down off of the plateau, and they come down here. Now, the interesting thing is that once they come down on the lowland, there's no escape. And as they're setting up camp and they're there, we don't know how many days it was that they were there. It just says as they're camped, Pharaoh comes along. And once they're down in that position, Pharaoh and the army are up above, and it's just the water that has them kind of contained. And when they see the Egyptian army, there begins to be a level of panic or distress because they're not sure what tomorrow holds. They're not sure what the conditions will be or the challenge will be as they face what could be tomorrow. They begin to think that it'll be the worst case scenario. Have you ever noticed that when we worry or we're perplexed or we're frustrated, we always think of the worst that could happen? And that's what kind of fills our minds and just continues to keep us occupied as we look at the circumstances. And they were looking at the Egyptian army. And for them, it was a worst case scenario. There is no way out. So as this begins to unfold, Pharaoh and the army came. Because in this sense, Pharaoh thought that Moses and the Israelites had made a tactical error. And when he's considering the idea of recapture or containing or controlling the Israelites, he thinks that this is perfect because they've made a tactical error and now we're in place. There is no escape. It's kind of what the Israelites thought too. But then God begins to talk with them about the situation. And so as we unpack God's word, we begin to realize that there's something pretty special that's going on. The first thing that we're reminded of, I should tell you, about a dozen years ago, I ran across a little book by Robert Morgan. It was called The Red Sea Rules. And he was working through some experiences in his life and kind of ran across this. And there were some practical lessons and that he drew. And then as I began to work with that, I thought, this is pretty amazing. So some of the stuff that is shared here comes from a source that's not with me, but it's good for me to be reminded of what God is saying through his word and what others have discovered also. So one of the first lesson that comes out of here for me is that I need to remember that I'm exactly in the place that God wants me to be. When we're in God's place and in his time, it's a perfect place to be. And remember, it was God who said to Moses, "Well, stop and turn here." Have you ever wondered what life would be if you had made another decision or turned a different direction? Where would I be if? And that's kind of one of these moments. But God, through his word, reminds us that he is sovereign and he leads in our lives, and you and I are exactly where we're supposed to be. Even though there are times we think, oh, if only I could be back there. The Israelites are kind of getting there. Was life really so bad in Egypt that we couldn't have stayed there? Anyway, God's timing and his placement is just right for you and for me in this moment of our lives. And God, through his word, reminds Moses of what's going on. Any other direction that the Israelites would have gone, if they'd have continued down the shoreline, if they'd gone back a little further into Egypt, it would have had its challenges too. It's not like if we had made another decision, everything would be perfect. Well, we know it just sets up a different set of circumstances and a different set of challenges. So we need to be reminded in the topsy-turvy age in which we live, these are the moments that God has allowed, and he knows exactly who you are and where you are and what's going on. And this is his moment to celebrate. We need to celebrate his life in us because that's the expression that's going to come out. So these moments are for him. And then as you read down through here in God's word, we need to remember that God's honor is important. In fact, God's honor in the middle of a challenging situation is more important than our rescue. And we need to understand that in the moments of our circumstances, God's honor in his display is to be seen through what's going on in our lives. Now, the Israelites thought that all this was rescue. God, just get us out of here. But God is wanting to demonstrate his power and his sovereignty. And it's in your life and my life that he says, I want to make a statement to the world of what my power, my life can do in and through you so that others can see. Sometimes we just want to be removed from it. But God often says, I want to walk with you through this so others can see the revelation of the power of God, and others can see how the dynamic power of God unpacks every situation and can demonstrate his life in us and through us. So when you come to verses 3 and 4 here in God's word, there's there's this sense of what it means to allow the power of God to be active in our lives. And God is making a statement, not just to Egypt, but to the Israelites too, of what it means for his power to be displayed. So if we realize that we're in God's place and in his time, and if we realize that the honor of God is on display, then as you come here to verse 13, the challenge then as we look at the circumstances is then to cry out to God. And so we need to acknowledge our circumstances and our challenges, but we need to keep our eyes focused above. The Israelites were looking at the Egyptians surrounding them on the one side. And it's kind of hard to kind of go through the motions of the day without looking, turning around and seeing if they're still there. And sometimes the challenges in our lives, if we get a suggestion from the doctor of what things might be, or if we're facing some challenges or difficulty in relationships, if we're, well, just a myriad of things. It's sometimes an exercise, well, it is an exercise of faith, but sometimes a difficult exercise to intentionally choose to move from the moment or the explanation and look to the solution. But the enemy of our souls doesn't want us looking to where the power and solution is. The enemy of our souls wants us to be overwhelmed or at the edge of being overwhelmed and think that that's the only thing that's going to happen. When Scripture says to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, it's talking to us about the challenge of being intentionally men and women who love God and are wired so intentionally in the heart because of our faith that we choose to look up. And we choose to look towards the solution, even though we may not understand what that is. And yes, we will have ideas of what we like to see God do, but the challenge is to acknowledge that we have issues, but also to keep our eyes looking up. The Israelites were thinking rescue, and God was wanting to demonstrate lordship. In our lives, we tend to think, oh God, deliver us from. Take this mountain from me. Move me from this place. Help me to be in a different circumstance as if we want to just be picked up and moved over here. And if God wanted that and he does that, then that's an amazing solution. But most times in our lives, he will say, I want you to trust me enough and hold my hand that as we walk through this, we find out what he can do on our behalf. Have you ever noticed that in our relationship with the Lord, as he leads in our lives, he isn't like a rancher cattleman, which I have been in my younger life, that drives and kind of points the herd and says, go there. But in Scripture, there's this amazing picture of the shepherd who walks ahead and turns around and says, come to where I am. He isn't telling us where to go. He's telling us, come with me as we walk together this direction. It's rather amazing spiritual concept in troubled times for us to be reminded of how amazing it is to just allow the sovereignty of God to fill our thinking and then to allow God the Holy Spirit in our lives to so fill us with that place of trust that we're willing to say, if this is your purpose and will, Lord, help me to walk through it with you. I want to trust you this much. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Remember that statement as Jesus was dealing with the Father? Lord, I believe. And what we're saying is, I've seen some things in my life that cause me to say by faith, wow. But Lord, help in this moment when my faith is rather shaky. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me in what I can't see just to move here, because there is no way that the Israelite people, when we get to unpack the word next time, there's no way that the Israelite people thought the solution was that the sea was going to disappear and the solution was to walk there. They're looking around saying, there is no way to escape. We're in a world of hurt. What are we going to do? Well, we acknowledge our challenges, but we keep our eyes on Jesus. And so the idea is to develop discipline in our lives that allows us to look more at Him than at the circumstances. That's a big challenge. It's a big challenge when every night on the news, half the news is talking about how catastrophic things are, and it doesn't look like there's any way to survive. Or we're facing issues in our own lives with physical health or whatever. We just tend to think, we're not sure what's going to happen. Well, here it is in God's Word. It reminds us to keep our eyes fixed on God, who is solution. And then they were also told, you need to pray. Did you notice here in verse 10 when, as we read the word, it says, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And then it says, they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. So the next lesson that comes in the middle of this is, we need to pray as if our life depends on it. And it does. It does. To simply open up our hearts and seek the Lord's counsel and to ask Him to take on the challenges that we're facing. Even as we had a prayer time here with Brian, there were needs that are represented in the church family and the congregation. And you're seeking the Lord's future about pastoral leadership and what God would have for the next steps of the journey in unsettled times. Well, as we pray, the Israelites looked at the circumstances and they were terrified, which is another word to say their mind was so filled with the challenge that it was almost impossible to move beyond being frozen at that point. Terrified isn't the word that says they were motivated and they went to flight and they ran like crazy. They didn't have anywhere to run. They were terrified and kind of almost immobilized, but it says they cried out to the Lord. They sought the Lord's presence and His peace and His solution for their need. They had no idea what that was going to be ultimately, but they did turn to Him, and Moses helped to point them in a direction to seek for a divine solution. And we're reminded in Scripture as we walk our lives on a daily basis, we're reminded to seek the Lord with our whole heart. You'll seek and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. And then, you know, God's Word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He will show you what to do or how to go in these moments. And so as we come to God's Word and we see these truths begin to unfold, I would invite you to take your Bibles this week and in your devotion, just kind of read through this a couple of times and say, okay, Lord, in troubled times, what are we seeing? What would you remind me about my life in these days? And we're reminded that the Lord's leading and we're in the spot He wants us to be. Even though at times we think we would like to be somewhere else, but these are the moments. And we're reminded that God already knows the outcome. He already has a solution in place for the challenges that we're facing. And then we realize that God's honor is an amazing thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be given permission to use the name of the Lord Jesus and invest His name in our situations. Nobody trembles at my name, but the spiritual realm trembles at the name of Jesus. And He's given you and me the right to invest His name and use it as we face the challenges of life. So as we unpack the Word and take it with us this morning, let me remind you of a couple points of application. You and I need to remember that we're exactly where the Lord wants us to be right now. And His power and His presence, it's enough. It's enough. So we can relax and just allow His love and His grace to touch our lives. And then we need to be reminded that God's name can be called on and honored in and through us, our circumstances. God's name can be invested and used in his solution. He wants his glory to be seen in your life and his story to be told with your lips. To verbally be able to say, I only have survived this because the Lord Jesus worked on my behalf. We've had a miracle, miracle of grace as God works in our lives. We need to be reminded of that. God's glory to be seen and shared. And then to remember the challenge on a daily basis that we can fix our eyes on Jesus and find help. To really lean into him and find goodness and blessing and his encouragement in our lives. As we have opportunity in a couple weeks to kind of pick this up, we're going to finish chapter 14. But the amazing thing in the middle of this is, how do I live a life of faith under pressure? And our pressure may not be exactly like the persecution of the early church, but we're being persecuted. We're under pressure. How do we live in a way that reflects the good news of Jesus and his power at work in us and through us? Well, may God bless as we have opportunity to serve him. Let me just invite you to bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that you allowed the Israelites to kind of lean into your blessing and your goodness, even though from a human standpoint, it didn't look like they were going to make it. Thank you in our lives that you work so deeply and passionately on our behalf. And we just pray now that you will help us to keep our eyes focused on you. Help us, Lord, to pay more attention to you and spend more time with talking to you than we do about complaining or fretting, worrying about things we have no control over. So thank you for your love and your grace and your blessing. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.